WNYC.
Saturday afternoon at 4 on Radio Catskill.
I'm Kathy Geary. Welcome to Now and Then. On today's program, we have some live music right here in the studio. We'll be listening to Spook Handy, Scott Palermo, and Pat Wichter. It's always exciting to have live music in the studio on air. And tomorrow, I'm very excited about a concert that's happening at the Narrowsburg Union in Narrowsburg, New York. There's a concert, and all three of our guest musicians today are performing on the concert. That's tomorrow in the afternoon from 1 to 3 p.m. at the Narrowsburg Union. The concert's called Sing It Loud, Songs of Protest. And it features local and touring singer-songwriters that are going to be representing the genre of the protest song. I think it's a pretty timely event. So we're all sitting here. We've got a lot of guitars. We've got a few microphones. And I'm really excited, but I'm just curious, you know, everybody that's performing on this program is volunteering their services and their talents and their time. And I would love to hear from each of you, you know, what motivates you, you know, to donate your time and to take part in a performance like this. I've met Scott before, but, you know, you've heard Scott Palermo before on my program, but I have never met Spook Handy or Pat Wichter before. So we're going to be kind of getting to know each other. You're going to get to know them. And so here we go. So Spook.
Good morning.
There we have it. It's a good morning. Spook has a history of performing with Pete Seeger.
Yeah.
To me, that is irreplaceable. I don't know really anybody with as much experience of what it was like in person with him as you. So talk to me about what a protest song is. And this concert, you're here. You've traveled here. We asked you to come play, and here you are.
Well, I knew Pete in the last 10 years of his life. I had the incredible fortune of performing alongside him more than 50 times. And my understanding of who Pete Seeger was and what he stood for evolved over that 10-year period and continues to evolve. And I didn't know a lot about him before I met him. That's kind of like my unique story. I didn't grow up listening to Pete.
Oh, wow.
I was under the semi-mistaken impression that he sang children's songs. But then I started realizing that some of these children's songs are really adult songs disguised in a common language that even a child can understand. And as I got to know him better, I started
That's
realizing.
Wilson.
Yeah, and I started realizing that Pete was a very profound and powerful protest singer. But I also came to a deeper understanding that the reason he was a powerful and profound protest singer is because 90% of his songs were about building. 90% of his songs were about community, were about our shared experiences, our common landscape, our history, our struggles. And he won the hearts of the public, and he won the ears of his listeners. And so when he did sing a protest song, it hit home. It hit home. Even when he died, he got one of the best write-ups he got was in Stars and Stripes magazine.
Oh, my God.
You know?
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And, you know, and one of the you know, just one quick experience without telling the whole entire story. I was touring extensively in 2010, and I was on an annual habit of returning home the day before Election Day. So in 2010, that was the year that the Tea Party took over. Mm-hmm. And my report to Pete was, it was absolutely amazing. The Tea Party loved his music. They loved his music and Pete was, he was so excited. He went running across the room. Toshi, did you hear that? The Tea Party likes my music. And the reason why that's important is because he wanted to express he had opinions, and he wanted to express those opinions in common language in relating to the simplest common denominator values that so many of us share.
When you say that the Stars and Stripes really loved his music, a protest song is a very uniquely American art form, I think. I mean, you know, it might have spread globally, but the idea of the protest song, you can sing a protest song, not get arrested here. If you look right and you're in the right place, there's not a lot of countries where that exists. And today, you know, one of the things that I think is so important about this concert is that if you're in the wrong place at the wrong time and you say Free Palestine, you could be arrested. And that's a horrible loss of freedom. And I think of the protest song as a tool, as a mechanism to engage community, like what you said, what Pete wanted to bring people together. And I think there's nothing more important that we can all do right now than to realize that, you know, we are the people. And that government, that there are servants, they're public servants. Someone should remind them of their role. So anyway, that's what I have to say. Thank you. That was beautiful. We'll hear more from Spook Hanley shortly, because I kind of wanted just to get to know everybody a little bit. So, Pat, I'll look at you over here. You drove in today to be on our show. Thank you for being here.
I'm so glad to be here. Thanks for having me and having us.
Well, talk to me. Protest song, how does that fit into your musical world? Do you write protest songs?
It's a funny thing, you know, the language we use for these things is always, it has connotations and it's contested ground. And so, you know, I don't necessarily use that term for what I do.
It's a label that you might not want to have.
I think of what I do as socially aware music. So, and my dear friend Sonny Oak said the thing that she likes about my music is that there's always the world is always part of it. It's not simply songs about people. It's about people in the world. And so I've always got an eye on what's happening in the world. And I think some of how my writing about that developed was through exposure to the music of Phil Oakes.
So interesting.
I first encountered Phil Oakes when I was in college, and I was in activist protesting protesting apartheid and U.S. policy in Central America, and ran across Phil Oakes's music in that context. And so I didn't really think much about it for the next 20 odd years or so. And
oops.
I began developing career as a singer-songwriter, and I was placed in a Phil Oakes round at the New Bedford Summerfest. This is like in 2005.
Okay.
And so I had to sing a Phil Oakes song, and I didn't know any Phil Oakes songs.
Oh, wow.
So I went
That's
and learned
interesting.
Some Phil Oakes songs.
Because, you know, Spook had said he had never really listened to a lot. He didn't thought Pete Seeger maybe had written children's songs till he got to know him, and you heard it, but you'd never sung one until you needed to.
Yeah, and the thing...
That's fascinating. That's cool.
I had this idea about protest songs that they were a certain very narrow kind of scope.
Well, they kind of are in a lot of ways. It's kind of an archaic sort of a genre name. There's some people today that, like you, have said, I don't want to be labeled a protest singer. I don't want to listen, you know. So I like the socially aware.
And I think, you know, the thing that I came to understand in playing the music of Phil Oakes, my Sonny Oakes invited me to be part of a rotating cast.
Sonny Oakes is Phil's sister.
Is Phil's sister, yes, and who's done so much to keep Phil's music in the public eye and in the air.
I play his songs. I play them on my show.
Thing I came to understand about Phil Oakes, who was often called a protest singer, is that he was simply a very good songwriter who was training his eye on what was going on in the world. And part of why his songs endure is because they're good. They're successful as songs. They have good melodies.
Yeah, yeah.
They have poetic lyrics. Yeah. They are memorable and they are moving. They have great imagery. They are successful on every level as songs, and they just happen to be about what's going on.
You know, I wish that he could be here and hear you say that now, because it would really satisfy him, I'm sure. Thank you, Pat. Scott Palermo, talk to us, and then we're going to have some music, I promise. we're getting close to it, people. So, Scott, you have put music at the center of your life in the past few years, and I'm just really excited to see the growth that you've done as a performer, and you've recently released your first CD, so yay. You're going to be singing one of your original songs on our Sing It Loud Songs of Protest song concert tomorrow. So talk about your involvement here and what you have planned for us, or you know, give us some sense of awareness. Where are you at with this concert?
Well, thanks, Kathy, for having me on the show. It's,
oh, yeah.
And including me in tomorrow's program. I just think this is going to be a powerful event, and I'm so pleased that so many people are coming together to make it happen, because in the current environment, free speech is being stifled, and I think we've got an opportunity to at least counter that for a couple of hours and maybe resonate beyond that. You know, one of the things that drives me crazy and what I hear about people who, younger people in particular, that talk about music today, I don't like any controversy in my music. I don't like it when there's anything in there that's, you know, that's political. And I feel like saying, this is the basis of music. People have used music to express what they was important to them, either hurtful or joyful, since it began. That was when the original humans started beating on drums, they were expressing themselves. So to say that I don't like controversy or something, people have things to say. And the unique thing about music is that people come together with music. People sing together.
And it's not as divisive as words can be.
I'm not a particularly religious person, but I was married to a person who was, and I went to church, and I sang. I mean, these were songs that maybe I didn't agree with the words that I was singing, but I sang because everybody was singing, and it draws you in, and it brings people together even around ideas that we agree with or don't agree with. And so, you know, I've been singing since I was in high school, not particularly well in the beginning, but things changed.
You can just hear in his speaking voice what a gorgeous baritone. We're talking Johnny Cash with deep, beautiful baritone. Lovely.
I've told the story many times about when
I'm
started.
I'm sure you must have sounded good at the beginning. No way.
No. I was playing in my dorm, sitting outside my dorm room, being locked out for reasons I'm not going to go into, but two doors opened up on the hall and two heads came out simultaneously and said, "Shut the F up, you're effing awful." And I was like, "I'll never sing again." I was not so good. And they were probably right at the time, but I think things have grown and I've practiced. And you know, that's what happens.
I think music grows within you, but
it's always been a central part of my life. You said the last few years. Yes, I've made it the focus since I retired. But it's always been a central part of my life, whether it was listening or partaking or singing with others or singing myself. Even now when I perform, I tell people I perform for myself. And if you like it, I hope you listen. But if you don't like it, you don't have to, because I'm still getting something out of it.
For yourself, yeah. You know, I tell my friends this, and I usually don't say it on air, but I'll say it right now. So when I get up in the morning and I go, okay, I've got to do a broadcast today. Gee, I never say to myself, I wonder what my audience wants to hear. Yeah. I never say that to myself. I always say, hey, what do I want to hear today? Mm. And then I share it with you. So this has been lovely introduction conversations. Thank you so much. I want to hear some songs. So Spook is sitting here with his guitar. Why don't we get him within range of the microphones? And
all right.
And this is Spook Handy live in the studio.
So I have to come on after that wonderful baritone voice. I'm sitting next to Scott, and I'm leaning over to see if I can smell whiskey on his breath, but no.
No.
Well, then let's start off with this. So, you know, if we'll just take the absolute extreme to tear down the whole entire system. And if we do, what are we going to find left? If we don't start rebuilding.
We're supposed to go to Mars. Haven't you gotten the memo? There's not going to be anything left. We're going to be in Mars. No, the whole thing is gone. No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Well, you know, Pete Seeger was known as a seed planter. But he also told stories about something else he could do with seeds. He talked about the man or the farmer who scattered seeds. He broadcast them. You know, this story probably comes straight out of the Bible and probably was adapted to whatever the current situation was. And so when we plant seeds, we are directing their growth. We're directing where we put them. We're directing where they grow. And sometimes we have a responsibility to nurture them ourselves into fruition. But other times we don't have that responsibility, nor do we have that right. So there's a balance between the two. And if we're going to find anything left here in 3.5 years from now, it's because a lot of people are remembering what we have and building upon it. So this song is called Scatter Seeds. Scatter seeds, one kind deed. Will they grow? You may never know. It's not for you to say, so just keep on your way. Tomorrow is another day to scatter seeds. Turn the earth, love's new birth comes and goes, unless it finds a place to grow. Will change come and stay? Who among us is to say? We prep the soil anyway and scatter seeds. We each have our own little gardens. To plant and nurture as we please. But better both for you and me. The more of us who will agree to sit together, sorting seeds of harmony. Every crumb we eat, every thought we think, every feeling, every deed builds us up or breaks us down. The waves we make go round and round and round and round and round and round into eternity. Scatter seeds, one kind of deed. Will they grow? We may never know. It's not for us to say, so let's keep on our ways. Tomorrow is another day. scatter seeds.
Nice. Thank you. Yes. A spook handy. Spook, that's an original song, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I love that metaphor.
It's one of the
that is so positive.
One of the few gifts we got from the pandemic.
Mm-hmm. I got you.
You know, I think in 30 days I wrote 30 songs. You know, just go out for a walk and come back with a new song. You know, every day.
Well, you know, as I recall, during the pandemic, they restricted the sales of seeds. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
You couldn't buy for some reason you couldn't buy seeds. But in any event, the world is what you make it. What we plant the seeds for the future. And it was interesting as you introduced your song. You said, "I don't know if we're going to make it the next 3.5 years." And I'm thinking, okay, we got to plant some seeds and water them and get this thing going.
Well, we will make it for the next 3.5 years. The question is, what are we going to find there? And I think that what we can see right now is that in the heart and in the center of the disaster that's happening right now are the seeds of the future.
So change can't happen without change. I mean, it's changing. And you know, something good could come out of this chaos. It's true.
It has in the past.
Pendulum could swing the other way really fast, really hard.
You have to build now what you want to see in the future.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that when things do change, there's something there for people to
right.
go.
Well, we know that there's been some plans already made, you know, for this administration. Project 2025 is very detailed, spells it out very clearly. It's been worked on for quite a long time. We need a Project 2029, don't we?
That's right.
But
bring things that have been under the surface to the surface. So that we can kill
that's
them.
That's true, too. That's true.
These things have been riding under the surface for decades. And so they're out in the open.
Part of the beauty of America. You know, I mean, it's part of our history, this kind of strife.
It's like an encyclopedic compendium of all the worst ideas of the last 150 years.
Exactly.
Poured into one document.
That's like things... Just like measles, things we thought we stamped out that are still there.
Oh, Lord. Well, Spook, that was beautiful. And since you're already warmed up, now he has a lovely little butterfly on his guitar. Ah. This is a well-loved guitar. It's been played. I like the look of this guitar.
Yeah, it's a Martin D35.
Uh-huh.
And this, believe it or not, I was back when I was just coming up and I was starting out, I was playing at some cafe and some young woman came up and hugged me and said, "Can I give you a butterfly?" I said,
okay, why not?
You already have.
Yeah.
And it also happened to be that the night that Jerry Garcia died. And so I think of this as my connection with the Jerry folks.
Yeah, okay, I remember that day. Yeah, I remember that day. So what would you like to sing for us now?
Okay, well, then I'll do this one. This one came to me in a dream. And, you know, you'll find me often. Donald Trump didn't make up this idea of remembering things. I have a guitar. No, I have wallet keys and phones, guitar, banjo, knapsack, book, and pen. Now, that little book goes in my pocket, see? And I write down ideas when they come to me. And I have whole books filled with stuff that came from conversations I had with Pete. So
oh,
I have,
wow.
Yeah,
That's so cool.
I'll bet you Pat and Scott have this too. You wake up with either a line or a verse or sometimes an entire song. This one was a verse. I got a verse and a chorus. It was a verse and a chorus.
Okay.
I'm going to move this mic closer, but that one.
Okay, good.
Yeah. And then I went to my book to find the other verses, but it's called The Compass. The Compass.
This is Spook Handy. The song is called The Compass, live here on Radio Catskill.
I hear the songs you're singing. They're coming from your hearts. Yes, they're coming from the same place. The very first song got its start. They weave 100,000 stories, each one of them unique. With the golden thread that binds us, every soul longs to be free. Every soul longs to be free. They're singing. Give us freedom, give us freedom, give us freedom, freedom now. Give us freedom, give us freedom, give us freedom, freedom. Now if everybody had clean water and food enough to eat, if we could satisfy these hungers of these needs, we shall be free. Then we can build the roofs above us, close them, sew the clothes that keep us warm. If we could learn to stick together, we could weather any storm. We could weather any storm. Sing it! Give us freedom, give us freedom, give us freedom, freedom now. Give us freedom, give us freedom, give us freedom, freedom now. The road to freedom is a long and windy way, and that we need a proper compass so we don't all run astray. What does it matter where we find it? From within or from above, we will know the tool is worthy if the needle always points to love. The needle always points to love. Sing it! Give us freedom, give us freedom, give us freedom, freedom now. Give us freedom, give us freedom, give us freedom, freedom. Some find the compass in their culture. Some find it in a book. Some find it in their own hearts, if they're brave enough to look. Some find the compass out in nature, the rivers and the trees. Some see it in their neighbors, hear it in the songs we sing. What does it matter where we find it? Within, without, from above, we will know the tool is worthy if the needle always points to love. The needle always points to love.
Oh, yeah. Nice, yeah, Spooky Andy. He's calling that song "The Compass." I love the way that how people find it in their hearts, the culture.
Well, you can find it anywhere, and that's the thing. You know, so the bottom line is: there's all these questions. What would Jesus do? What would Woody do?
What would Woody do? Yeah, yeah.
What would love do?
Yeah.
You see, and that's the challenge. You want to find, you know, those seeds. They can take away all the seeds they want, but they're not going to take away the seeds in our hearts. See?
That's really
good. And we need to nurture those.
Yeah.
And you nurture them with love, right, Pat? Pat knows this.
Pat knows this.
Well, I've known Pat a long time, and he's like one of these living embodiments of you know, being a vehicle, giving space, making space, being a vehicle to nurture people's relationship with their own hearts.
Well, that's super duper sweet and generous of you, Spooky.
So, you know, Spooky, you spent all those years with Pete.
Yes.
And you were in really pretty rarefied company. And you must know some of his songs. Would you sing one Pete Seeger song for us?
Okay. Well, let's do this one.
Needs no introduction, I guess.
Well, Pete was a genius for many, many reasons. But one of them was, I don't know what he would say about this DIY thing,
I think the three scariest words in the world of a musician is DIY. Pete, do it yourself.
Yeah.
So Pete never did it himself. He was a servant leader. He was someone who led from behind by finding people's talents. And that's a long story, so I'll end at there and tell an even shorter version of a different story. After questions about whether Pete was an atheist, which I couldn't possibly entertain in my mind that he was an atheist, his daughter Tina told me, no, he was not an atheist. He just didn't believe in talking about it. And yet he still wrote a song right smack out of the book of Ecclesiastes.
Oh, my God.
To be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to reap, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to laugh, a time to weep. To everything, turn. There is a season, turn, and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to build up, a time to break down, a time to dance, a time to mourn, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together. To everything, turn. There is a season, turn. And a time to every purpose under heaven. A time of war, a time of peace, a time of love, a time of hate. Time when we may embrace, a time to refrain from embracing. Time to lose, a time to rend, a time to sow, a time of love, a time of hate, a time for peace. I swear it's not too late. To everything, turn. There is a season, turn. And a time to every purpose under heaven.
Oh, wow. Oh, making me cry. I haven't thought of that song in so many years. That's just really an amazing song. Thank you so much, Spook. All right. So I'm Kathy Geary. You're listening to Now and Then here on Radio Catskill. We've got three live musicians. And now we're going to ask Pat Wick. Victor, I keep wanting to say Victor, but Victor.
That's the German
Pat
version.
Victor has been standing by. Could you gentlemen switch out and get in the trade seats here? Everyone on today's program is also performing in a concert tomorrow at the Narrowsburg Union called Sing It Loud, Songs of Protest. And this is a free event from 1 to 3 in the afternoon in Narrowsburg, New York. Generously donated the space, the stage, the technical support from the Narrowsburg Union. We're very grateful. You got some
headphones? I sort of prefer without it.
All right. So, Pat, as I've just met Spook today, and I'm meeting you for the first time today, too. It's a pleasure to have you here. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
I know you've just released an album, Flare. And are you performing songs from that tomorrow?
Yes. The album actually has been out for a while.
Okay.
It was a topical album, and the topic
hasn't
still
changed
relevant.
Much. Yeah, it's pretty still relevant. Yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's the sad news. Right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I wanted the album to be a quaint relic of a bygone era, and it hasn't become that yet. Yeah,
okay. So what would you like to sing for us today?
I thought I would do a song called I Gotta Write.
Okay. Don't we all? All right, this is Pat Wichtor.
I believe in democracy, and I believe in civic dialogue. I believe in agreeing to disagree. I think that's an important civic virtue. One of the things about democracy is we don't always get it right. That's the reason we keep having elections, and that's the reason we need to make sure that we keep having elections and that they're free and open and fair. Because, after all, the folks who don't pay much attention to politics or to issues, their votes count exactly as much as all the votes of people who've worked hard to inform themselves. So, sometimes, we just don't get it right. I live in Brooklyn and right across the way in Queens. The people of Queens elected to be their congressman, George Santos. And in the next election, they fix their mistake.
Okay, all right.
It can be done. So I wrote this song about agreeing to disagree, and I was feeling pretty good about it. And then things started just getting weirder and weirder and weirder. And then suddenly we were all in this strange wilderness where there seemed to be more and more things where we couldn't just agree to disagree about them. We had to draw a line somewhere and say, well, I can't go with that. So I showed the song to a friend, and she said, why don't you write a disclaimer into the song like they have in those pharmaceutical ads? And I thought, that's a great idea. So that's what I did. I got a right to be dead wrong. In your world, I don't belong. 'Cause you've said so all along. I got a right to be dead wrong. I got a right to go to hell. No, I'm under no one's spell. And I ain't mad, and I wish you well. I got a right to go to hell. You and me, our wills are free. What you believe is not for me. So let's agree to disagree. If both of us are to be free, I got a right to be damned. I ain't trying to take a stand, but you keep trying to force my hand. I got a right to be damned. You and me, our wills are free. What you believe is not for me. So let's agree to disagree. If both of us are to be free, we got a right to be dead wrong. Hope we can still get along. We're each singing our own song. We got a right to be dead wrong. The civic virtues contained herein are rendered null and void in cases of insurrection, attacks on the Constitution and constitutional rights, extreme gerrymandering, sycophantic enthusiasm for foreign autocrats, bad faith trolling, mindless repetition of disinformation, callous disregard for the truth, bigotry, and discrimination. If you are experiencing any of these symptoms, check and replace your sources of information immediately. I got a right to be dead wrong. You got a right to be dead wrong. We got a right to be dead wrong.
Wow. Yeah, you know what? A humor, what a great way to attack a subject like that. It's so well done. That's Pat Wichter. Wow. That's a very unique style.
Yes. I felt like I got someplace new with that. A lane that not too many people were in.
There's a little bit of sarcasm in there, you know, but it's humorous and lighthearted sarcasm. In a lot of ways, you know, that's a very effective way to change people's minds. That's well done. Well done, my friend. Well. I want to hear more. Come on. So, what kind of guitar is that? That's interesting.
This is a carbon fiber guitar. It was made by a company called Blackbird.
So this is not a wooden guitar.
No, this is a metal guitar.
Oh, interesting. And even the frets look strange.
The fret markers are a little head fake. They look fret-like, but yeah. They're just flush with the fingerboard.
Oh, okay. Like you'd have to see what I'm seeing to understand what he's saying. But yeah,
it looks like I have half frets in here, but they're just markers. So.
Somehow it works with your voice. It's a very, very recognizable sound.
Well, I've gotten to be friends with it.
Pat and I never advocate violence. but if we did, that machine could probably do more effective
jobs. This machine, what does it do? Fascist?
Yes.
Arms
yes.
Fascist.
If Woody Guthrie had one of these, you'd really have to watch out.
Yeah. I have one of those carbon fiber guitars as well, and the advertisement is they swing it and hit a cinder block with it.
Oh, wow.
They make guitar cases out of this, you know.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Okay, you said it was Phil Oakes. You know, I'm thinking about the humor that he had, you know, that sarcastic humor hiding something more vulnerable underneath, you know, you're kind of in that humorous. I could see, is that part of the influence from Phil? You saw how he did that? Or is that just your personality? I'm sure it's you. It's you.
There's probably a little of Phil in there. He certainly was quite sarcastic.
He opened the door to that way of very precise ideas. Your disclaimer was just incredible. Come on, let's have another song. Let's have another song, my friend. That was wonderful.
Okay.
And is that song released?
It's on Flare.
It's on Flare.
Yeah.
You can find out information from every single performer on tomorrow's concert on the Sing It Loud website. You can actually, there's links there to click and buy now. You can buy some recordings from Spook or from Pat or even from Scott Palermo or even actually from myself. I'm performing tomorrow as well. And Sing It Loud is a rock and roll band, and they already had the website name. So we had to kind of, you know, we had to make it work, you know. So it's sing-it-loud.com. So if you would like to find out more information, you can visit online. But right now, you know, don't leave your radio because we're about to hear another song. And what would you like to sing for us?
I think I'm going to sing How Will They Tell It? It is a...
It's a question.
It's a question.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this because someday people are going to look back on this time that we're living in right now, and they're going to ask,
what was that like?
What was it like? Or they're going to tell the story, even more so, they'll tell the story of this time. And so the question for us now is, how are they going to tell that story? That story is being written by us. And so I wrote this song, and the darn thing kept coming out as a calypso, which is really too bad because I don't know that much about calypso music. I tried everything. I tried turning it into a country song. I tried turning it into a blues. I tried everything. It just kept coming back to a calypso.
It's working for me.
And there's a very easy sing-along part, and all the words are, how will they tell it? when the story of our time is told, how will they tell it? Will they say that we were brave and bold? How will they tell it? Did our conscience stir much too late? How will they tell it? Will they say we lived in fear and hate? How will they tell it? Aren't we the ones who write this tale? Oh, were we strong or were we frail? Did we succeed or did we fail? How will they tell it? How will they tell it? You guys have the hang of it. Sounds beautiful. Will they say that we were just and fair? How will they tell it? When the powerless cried out, did we care? How will they tell it? Did we greet our neighbors with a smile or frown? How will they tell it? Did we let the loudest shout us down? How will they tell it? At our children's 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 birth, will they know that we had put them first? Did we give our best or do our worst? How will they tell it? How will they tell it? You guys sound so good. This next part is a scat singing solo. Ba ba da da ba 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 ba. They say that we were kind and wise. How will they tell it? Or were we silent in the face of lies? How will they tell it? Did we sacrifice for the good of all? How will they tell it? Or did we just build fences and more walls? How will they tell it? We can work together or we can't fight, but we all know which way sheds more light. The story now is ours to write. How will they tell it? How will they tell it? Two more. How will they tell it? How will they tell it?
Yeah. Oh, thank you. I love it. You know, that's an interesting question. And our children's children's children. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, we got to plant some seeds. Mm-hmm. We got to plant some seeds. Those are beautiful ideas. Both of you
now,
gentlemen, thank you so much. I love that.
Influenced by Phil Oakes, was this influenced by Kurt Vonnegut?
Oh, I thought you were going to ask me Harry Belafonte. But yeah, there's probably some Vonnegut
well,
in there,
you know,
too.
Kurt Vonnegut was an advocate of assigning responsibility to the people under which the Nazi atrocities happened.
Mm. Yes, yes. Everyone is responsible for what happens in the world was his perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I'm paying for that war over there in Palestine. Israeli-Palestinian war, I'm paying for it. I'm personally paying for it. You are too.
Yeah, you bet.
I would rather support libraries and museums and public radio and art medical care, but yeah. So, my friends, Scott Palermo is on board to serenade us with his beautiful voice. I'm just having a wonderful time here. I hope that you're enjoying it as much as I am. We're having a lot of fun here in the studio. You know, Radio Catskill is a public radio station, and if you want to get more involved, we're always looking for volunteers. Encourage you to, you know, to tune in to Radio Catskill and appreciate some of the things that we can find here locally that aren't really available anywhere else. We have such a unique area here.
We have a little issue here. See, we have three chairs and only one station where you could sit and perform both into the vocal mic and the guitar.
See,
I got to sit in all three of these chairs.
Oh, wait.
Yeah. We're only sitting in two.
I know.
See, people, I'm usually, this is my little bailiwick here, and we're crowded in here. I mean, we do have bigger rooms, but this is my home space, and we're making it work. I think it sounds good. So surrounded here by
surrounded
talent.
Indeed.
Well, I don't know about that, but Scott Palermo, you recently released Covered and Uncovered, and that was a combination of some original songs and some covers. I love it when you sing John Prine, but I also love your original songs. So I'm curious what you have in mind for us on today's broadcast.
So was I, because I came in with three different songs queued up and decided in the course of our conversation to change that. So
I hear you.
You know, one of the things we talked about a little earlier was, I mean, change is inevitable and things are changing, but changes can happen in both directions. So I think what's important about change is, first, we have to count on it, and two, how do we react to change when it happens? And so that's kind of what this song is about. A friend of mine, Matthew King, and I wrote this together. It is on my album. It's called Change.
Nice.
Change can break you, make you a little stronger. Change can help you last a little longer. Change can be the thing that makes you want to quit. Or change can be the piece that makes the puzzle fit. There's little in this world that will always stay the same. Boredom results from predictability in the game. Count on continuity will leave you feeble and unstable. It's the ebb and flow of life that puts satisfaction on the table. Just when you think your life is getting easier, turns a bend. What come to be expected now is twisted to an end. Yesterday takes a different turn as it then becomes tomorrow. You have no choice but to face it with happiness or sorrow. Cause change can break you, make you a little stronger. Change can help you last a little longer. Change can be the thing that makes you want to quit. Or change can be the piece that makes a puzzle fit. When familiar evaporates, you think that life is done. It's in your power to accept the change with which you're overrun. You have choices that you must make as direction you seek. You can shine a light where the darkness dwells, no matter how bleak. The world that we live in is uncertain to say the least. The stress infused in our daily lives has drastically increased. The earth's turned on end and does not see our plight. So how do we make it to the light of day from the darkest night? What does the world do when nothing stays the same? How do we stay on the playing field when the rules change in the game? The answer lies within each of us. It's surely not so strange. There really is no other way to deal with never-ending change. Change can break you, make you a little stronger. Change can help you last a little longer. Change can be the thing that makes you want to quit. Or change can be the piece that makes the puzzle fit. Change can break you, make you a little stronger. Change can help you last a little longer. Change can be the thing that makes you want to quit, or change can be the piece that makes the puzzle fit.
Scott Palermo. Thank you, Scott. That's on your album, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. So we probably have time for one more song. Can you do a John Prine that we can end our program with? It's just been so exciting to have everybody do their songs.
All right.
So what do you think? I put him on the spot. I put him on the spot.
Wild. Wild digesting, reader's digest. In the back of a dirty book four. Plastic flag with gum on the back. Fell out on the floor. Well, I picked it up, ran outside, slapped it on my window shield. If I could see old Betsy Ross, I'd tell her how good I feel. But your flag decal won't get you into heaven anymore. They're already overcrowded from your dirty little war. And Jesus don't like killing, no matter what the reason's for. And your flag decal won't get you into heaven anymore. Well, I went to the bank this morning, and the cashier said to me, if you join our Christmas club, we'll give you 10 of them flags for free. Well, I didn't mess around a bit, took her up on what she said, and I stuck them flags all over my car, one on my wife's forehead. But your flag decal won't get you into heaven anymore. They're already overcrowded from your dirty little war, and Jesus don't like killing, no matter what the reason's for. And your flag decal won't get you into heaven anymore. Well, I got my window shield so filled with those flags I couldn't see. Well, I ran my car up over the curb, right into a tree. By the time they got the doctor down, I was already dead. And I'll never understand why the man standing at the pearly gate said, oh boy, your flag decal won't get you into heaven anymore. They're already overcrowded from your dirty little war. And Jesus don't like killing, no matter what the reason's for. And your flag decal won't get you into heaven anymore.
All right, well done. Thank you, Scott. I love John Prine. You know, it's interesting. I had never really listened to John Prine that much until I started to hear you sing him. And you know, there's so much out there. You can't know everything. But I've been fascinated every time I hear one of his songs. It makes me think something that you said earlier, Pat, that you write songs where it's in the world. There's a character, but you also describe the world around it. That's kind of what Prine does. He gives you this incredible setting, these little cues, these little details, and it just seems like such real life and so simply said and so beautifully sung.
So simply said, but so poignant.
Yeah, you really deliver that well. You really deliver that well. So I'm just really happy with how we've done here today on today's program. You know, if you ever want to hear Now and Then and you miss the live broadcast, you can go online and we have an archive recording of the show. It stays online for a couple of weeks because I know I'll be listening to this one again. I got to hear a lot of new songs that I had never heard before and I'm really excited. Just a quick reminder, don't forget about the Sing It Loud concert at the Narrowsburg Union tomorrow afternoon, May 18th from 1 to 3.
That's right. We should come.
I'm Kathy Geary. You've been listening to Now and Then. On today's program, we had these live musicians, and they are very lively. We had Scott Palermo, Pat Wictor, and Spook Handy. I hope you're well. I hope you're safe. And once again, thank you so much for listening.
Coming up tonight at 7, Liberation Station with me, Callison Stratton, featuring music by female and femme presenting performers, only on Radio Catskill.
I'm Jeff. Join me Saturday at midnight for Electric Mountain. 2 hours of house, techno, indie dance, and more, plus sets by top local, New York City, and global guest DJs. From the underground to the highest peak, it's Electric Mountain, Saturday at midnight on Radio Catskill.
WJFF Jeffersonville. Streaming online at wjffradio.org. This is Radio Catskill. local news, culture, and NPR.